Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point with Steve Bannon at his side. Alabama's Judge Roy Moore took the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate, and it looked like he could not lose. Alabama is ruby red Republican. Donald Trump took it by 30 points. Then, 9 women came forward to accuse Roy Moore of sexual misconduct, some severe, most when they were teens. It looked like maybe he couldn't win. Now, it's a toss-up. Civil rights hero Democrat Doug Jones is in it for real, but it's still Alabama. This hour on Point, Roy Moore, Doug Jones, and Alabama's race to the finish for the U.S. Senate. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. Are you watching Alabama? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Tuesday night, campaign rally, Fairhope, Alabama. Roy Moore said the bureaucrats in Washington were not going to tell Alabama what to do. Here he is.
And the people of Alabama are going to speak to the people in Washington, D.C. and across this nation what we're going to do in this country. We're going to bring it forward and quit sitting on our chairs in Congress and get moving and make this country great again.
Doug Jones, a Democrat, seeing it entirely differently, saying Roy Moore an embarrassment to the citizens of Alabama, that he believes that the sexual misconduct allegations against him.
And make no mistake, he was already an embarrassment to this state before 9 courageous women chose to share their deeply personal and disturbing encounters with him from a time when he was a 30-something-year-old assistant district attorney, and they were only teenagers, one as young as 14. Folks, by any objective standard or review that examines the extensive corroboration of the statements of these women and, significantly, the inconsistencies of Roy Moore's denials, it is crystal clear that these women are telling the truth and Roy Moore is not.
We are diving into what is unfolding in the very last days of the race for the U.S. Senate in Alabama. Joining the vote on Tuesday, joining me now from Huntsville, Alabama, is Lita Gore, reporter at the Alabama Media Group, covering national and local politics. Been covering all this for more than 20 years. Her story yesterday was headlined, Roy Moore tweets he wants to bring Alabama values to Washington. It didn't go well. That's the headline. You can link to it at our website, onpointradio.org. Lita, welcome back to On Point. Great to have you here.
Thank you.
What are you talking about? The tweet, the values, didn't go well.
No, it didn't go well. People wanted Roy Moore to keep his Alabama values where they were. And interestingly enough, a lot of Alabamians said, well, you don't share my values. Now, whether that translates on Tuesdays to votes, that's still to be decided. But that whole, you know, every word he says is going to be scrutinized and picked apart, as it should be, just like any candidates. And I think that's, you know, anything he says, you're going to question.
What do the polls show? Here we are, what, 3-4 days before the vote. What's it look like, Lita?
Well, the latest poll, which was, I think, day before last, was Roy Moore was up by 7 points. If you look at it in a average, he's leading by about less than 2 percentage points. So within the margin of error. So for a race in Alabama, that's amazingly close for a Democrat. Like you said, it's usually, you know, 20. He was leading by 22 points in September, and we're down to neck and neck. So it shows you how that race has narrowed, you know, during that time.
What's the conversation? What's hot? Is it the sexual misconduct allegations? Is that still hot? Is that still driving it? Is it something else at this point?
Oh, no. It's still the sexual harassment or sexual, you know, behavior allegations. Now we're getting into the, is this particular accuser telling the truth or did she lie about this part? There's, you know, again, we're parsing each individual story because the stories are different. You know, there are different time frames involved. Similar theme, different stories. That's sort of the issue. And then I think we're seeing a pivot to the fact that a lot of people, even Republicans who may not come out and say this openly, are having to deal with the fact that Roy Moore will likely go to Washington to represent this state, and then what are we left with? You know, our senior Senator Richard Shelby came out very publicly and said he did not cast his absentee ballot for Roy Moore. So he's already going to be joining a senator who didn't support him, a fellow Republican senator who didn't appoint him. So the other thing is, you know, we got to look at, if you're Roy Moore in the Senate, what other senators are going to sign on to your bills? Are they going to ask for your co-sponsorship? Probably not. And that's if the, you know, we've had some senators come out and say, we would support an ethics investigation on day one. So we're sort of pivoting to, if Roy Moore wins on Tuesday, what's next?
On Face the Nation on Sunday, we had South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham saying if Roy Moore wins, an ethics investigation into his behavior would be a smart thing to do. Host John Dickerson asked Graham if he could have Moore deal with it, Moore as a senator.
Would you be able to, based on what you've heard, you'd be okay with him being a senator?
We can't stop him from being seated. If there was an investigation and all six members of the committee said they believe he was a child molester, that'd be a problem.
That's something to have around your neck. And Doug Jones running with that this week on Tuesday, talking about what the implications could be, would be for Alabama if it's U.S. Senator Roy Moore of Alabama. Here he was at a rally on Tuesday, Alabama being considered for $1.5 billion Toyota Mazda plant could bring 4,000 jobs. Doug Jones warning about losing out on that if Roy Moore were elected.
Does the idea of Senator Roy Moore make it more or less likely that Toyota or anyone else would see Alabama's image in such a negative way that they would cross Alabama off their list and move on to another state? We all know the answer. Roy Moore in the United States Senate would be a disaster for business in Alabama.
Neck and neck race right now. Lita Gore, step back for just a second. Introduce us to these men. We know Judge Roy Moore, of course, he was there on your Supreme Court, got kicked off a couple of times for not following through on federal policy. And how do Alabamans see him at this point? And what about Doug Jones? Introduce us to this man.
Well, Doug Jones, you know, is a former federal prosecutor. He's best known for achieving convictions against two of the men involved in the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing that killed four girls in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
He did this years later.
Year 2000, I think, those came down.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And so he's sort of seen as this champion. He's also not your typical Alabama Democrat because, of course, we don't have that many Democrats in the state. But interestingly enough, the party is... has done well with African American voters in the state, not as well with white voters, and he is white. He is sort of seen as this suburban attorney who has championed, you know, really has become the face of the Democratic Party in the state when there hasn't been a face. We don't have an active Democrat Party in any way, shape, or form. So he has, you know, the fact that he is running neck and neck with Roy Moore is remarkable. In every respect, and it not just, you know, not just in relation to these allegations, the most recent allegations against Roy Moore, what Doug Jones said and what a lot of Republicans even believe is Roy Moore was a flawed candidate from the start. He was not the pick, but when we come back to the man he defeated in the primary was Luther Strange, who was appointed by a governor that Strange's own office was investigating, who resigned 2 months later over having a sexual relationship with an aide. So Strange was sort of tainted from the beginning, whereas if he had waited and ran in 2018, most people believe he would have walked into the office without opposition.
But here it was. Steve Bannon came down and championed Roy Moore. Donald Trump formally for Strange, but it's Moore. And then all these allegations. And here we are in the very home stretch, neck and neck. Maybe a little lead, though, still for Roy Moore. Joining us now from Opelika, Alabama's Troy Turner. He's editor of the Opelika Auburn News in eastern Alabama, wrote an editorial last month saying Roy Moore should drop out of the race, but said that if he had gone further and endorsed Doug Jones, there would be bullets, he told the Washington Post, through his windows. Troy Turner, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Did you mean that literally? What are you referencing there?
Well, that was more a figure of speech. I don't literally think, I would hope not have bullets in the window, but... My point there was the passion. There's so much passion with this race. We did ask for him to withdraw, Moore to withdraw, for the same reasons that's been discussed already, the image and so many other things. But there's so much passion here. And kind of the approach we took with our editorial was trying to reason and trying to get across some of that. You know, I heard Janet Porter speak the other day, and we'd never get Roy Moore. It's almost impossible to get him for an interview or anything, editorial board meetings or things like that anywhere in the state. But I heard her speak the other day about the lynch mob media and her concerns of how outside influence is coming in, and that's the reason a lot of people are hearing what they're hearing about Roy Moore. And it's amazing how many people believe that. There is a lot of mistrust with the media, especially outside media influence, and all the way down to the local level. That passion resonates with his followers, and it's very strong. But at the same time, we wrote the editorial we did because we agree. We think the damage is done, is I believe how the editorial started. And, I mean, what committee is he going to be put on now if he wins this race? And what is it going to do for the recruitment? And it's already done a good bit of damage. I mean, we can see that even here at the small town local level. I mean, we hear that concern right now with business and industry, what's already been done.
Do people not care, or do they not care about the allegations? I see polls here that say 6 in 10 women will vote for Roy Moore.
They care, Tom, but the problem here is the agenda of a conservative Republican Party and the followers that make that up versus what they see in a Democrat. The abortion issue, for instance, you're in the Bible Belt here, that's a big deal. A lot of people admire Roy Moore for some of his stands, just like they do Donald Trump. And if you like that style of politics, you like that style of leader, there you go. They're going to follow him. If you do not and you despise it and you despise everything that Trump stands for and Roy Moore stands for, that's why we have a closer race, because you have a lot of people in Alabama who are, for the first time in many years, thinking of something other than a Republican ticket.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. Rocket Mortgage is simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Alabama in the home stretch of the U.S. Senate race between Democrat Doug Jones and Republican Roy Moore. Lita Gore is with us from Huntsville with the Alabama Media Group. Troy Turner is here from Opelika, Opelika Auburn News. He's the editor there. You can join us this hour. Alabamians, explain all this. What is the thinking here? How do Alabamians discount or set aside 9 women's stories of abuse by Roy Moore? How does Doug Jones look in this race? Could he pull this off? What's the appeal of Roy Moore despite everything? Is this all about abortion? And can everything else really be second to that? Steve Bannon still in there with Roy Moore. He was there this week, Tuesday night at that rally, saying, the political class in Washington wants to take away the voice of the people of Alabama.
They have no interest in what you have to say. They think you're a bunch of rubes. Right? They hold you in total contempt. Can anything show they hold you in more total contempt than what they did to Judge Moore? Remember, it's not Judge Moore they're trying to shut up. It's you they're trying to shut up.
And here, Roy Moore at that same rally, putting God right out front, going to take Alabama values to Washington.
What hurts most is I've been called foolish for believing in God. See, what I think they're afraid that I'm going to take Alabama values to Washington. And I want to tell you, I can't wait.
Same night in Birmingham, Democrat Doug Jones taking aim at Roy Moore over those multiple allegations that he sexually assaulted, harassed underage women.
And I damn sure believe that I have done my part to ensure that men who hurt little girls should go to jail and not the United States Senate.
And he has sent Klansmen to jail for that bombing, of course, in Birmingham way back when. We did that in 2000. Patrick from Douglasville, Georgia. Patrick, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. What do you see?
Well, my frustration is this. I see the fact that Roy Moore is still even allowed to be in the race as a continuation of this do as we say, not as we do hypocrisy from the Republican Party. You know, when Obama was initially elected, Mitch McConnell goes on TV and says explicitly, our number one priority is for Obama to be a one-term president. Then, during the ACA negotiations, they proceed to say, well, he won't negotiate with us. Well, of course, because you declared that you were going to obstruct every single thing that he did. Now, you have Lisa Murkowski saying that it's almost mandatory for Franken to step down now that these additional allegations have come out. And yet, she still supports President Trump, who has, what, 13?
Patrick, take it to Alabama. What do you see with Roy Moore, and Doug Jones?
My frustration is, why is Roy Moore allowed to continue to be a candidate if the Republican Party is in demanding that Democrats step down under these similar accusations? Why is there a double standard happening in the Alabama race? Roy Moore shouldn't even be on the ballot.
Lita, here we are. The president backed off a little bit at the beginning of the whole controversy, but has come in now. The Republican National Committee is funding Roy Moore again. Mitch McConnell was clearly very uneasy with the whole idea of having anywhere near the U.S. Senate, but he's not opposing now. He said it's up to Alabamians. What about Patrick's question? How can this be? People looking from outside are asking.
Well, people from inside the state are asking the same question. It sort of pivoted, you know, or hinged on the fact that when the Alabama Republican Party said that it would support Moore, and then you had the state saying it would support, you know, the national Republicans coming back in and saying we would support Roy Moore. You know, I guess the best way to explain that is I saw a message that went out on social media from a group of Republicans that said, because this is a special election, it's not something where you're going to have lots of races on the ballot.
Yep.
It said, if you don't want to vote for Roy Moore, just go in there and click straight Republican. Well, he's the only race. So you're
that'll do.
Roy Moore. Right, but that is the thinking. The thinking is, I'm going to close my eyes and I have to deal with Roy Moore, but under no circumstances will we send a Democrat to the Senate. Interestingly enough, I would love to see if the dynamic would be different if Republicans had a huge majority in the Senate that they don't have right now. If they were up by 10 Republican senators, they might be willing to punt Roy Moore, but not right now.
I mean, Donald Trump was pretty open about that. He said, we need this vote. But I want to ask you, you know, Patrick said, the attitude is do as we say, not as we do. There's kind of a biblical reference there. What about churches and evangelicals in Alabama with these charges against Roy Moore? I was reading here from, you must know, Wayne Flint, a big Alabama historian, a longtime friend of Harper Lee, gave the eulogy at her funeral, and he wrote this piece at AL.com, pretty tough. He said, make no mistake about it, the election on December 12th is not just a meaningless backdrop to national politics played out in a provincial state. This is an Alabama historian writing. He says it's a window through which we will gaze into America's soul, understand its deepest anxieties and its most confused religious and moral values. He looks at Roy Moore and the law. He says, law to Moore is merely an instrument of exclusion and oppression. These are tough words. Whether of women, teenage girls, African-Americans, immigrant Jews, Muslims, homosexuals, he's a deluded theocrat who believes that God's conversations with him determine the meaning of the U.S. Constitution. And then this, he says the choice for Alabama Methodists, like Harper Lee Baptist, like him, Pentecostals, megachurches, is to determine in this election whether white evangelicals retain the vision of the kingdom of heaven proclaimed by Jesus, the establishment of a just and righteous nation, or whether the evangelical tradition is now ethically, morally, intellectually, and most tragic of all, biblically bankrupt. I mean, Troy, those are tough words. Does that hit home with evangelicals in Alabama, or are they not reading their state historian?
Oh, it hit home with some, but they see Wayne Flint sometimes. He's a great historian. He's a great writer, and he represents the state very well with those type of viewpoints. But Alabamians are stuck in their ways, and they're very stubborn. I mean, I had a column not long ago, Will Religion Outstubborn Politics? And it was kind of along these lines. What bothers me is to see that hijacking of religion. And it has questioned many things about some of the church beliefs. I can't tell you how many different pastors I've had come in here and just in our local office and have different viewpoints just among themselves. They come in at different times, and one is so adamant about Roy Moore being the right kind of guy that we need in there because he's stood up with the Ten Commandments and this, that, and the other, and others who come in here and try to reason it out and say this is not the type of thing we believe in. And so it kind of reflects the politics of the day. There are a lot of churches who are kind of polarized by this as well. And to me, it's a hijacking of religion, and I think it's something that the voters need to get past because, for instance, the abortion issue, how often is that really going to be affecting the next senator's choices and things in office? But yet, it's there on the home values, and it's something that just can't get past the passion.
Christine in Auburn, Alabama. Christine, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Our local radio station is owned by Mike Hubbard, and I was listening this morning, which was rare, and an anti-Doug Jones ad came up. And they were really hammering the lie that he is for abortion up until birth. So our local radio station is owned by Mike Hubbard, and as I travel around the state of Alabama, there are so many places that there is no NPR. There are no balanced voices, so people are only hearing the right-wing, evangelical, Fox News, theocratic point of view. So the fact that Alabamians don't have access, honestly, to both sides. It's very hard to be balanced, and when an extreme politician owns the radio station, then that's their view. And we are moving toward a theocracy. And I think on the religious aspect, it is New Testament versus Old Testament. That is just the Christian perspective, of course, because we tend to forget that the country is made of. Even the state of Alabama is filled with non-Christian people, the people who have the voice are Christian.
Christine, I appreciate your call. Troy Turner, what about an Alabama media bubble as part of what's going on here?
Well, what she's talking about is Mike Hubbard, who was the Speaker of the House. And he was convicted on a number of ethics charges. And Mike Hubbard was a strong Republican leader. He was taken off. Many thought he might be running for governor or senator himself someday. He was convicted. We had an Alabama governor, Robert Bentley, yep. who part of his campaign was on his Christian platform. And he had to resign because he was tied to an affair. And then the other of the trifecta that we faced has been Supreme Court Justice Roy Moore. Yeah. And twice he's been removed from office. So it as far as the media bubble, I think there has been a lot of media from both sides. I think that's the reason why there's a lot of resentment right now for things like the Washington Post coming in here and doing the reporting it does. It's just folks want to turn it off. And AL.com, we have done some things here at the Opelika Auburn News. Others have had that other side, but it just doesn't seem as dominant. And people are concerned with things like what the lady just mentioned. When he owns a local radio stations, they automatically assume there's a connection there.
Troy Turner, editor of the Opelika Auburn News. Great to have you with us. Thanks so much for joining us today, Troy.
Thank you, Tom.
Lita, stand by. This is a November 17th press conference. Roy Moore's wife, Kayla, defending her husband while strongly criticizing the Democratic nominee, Doug Jones.
Ultra-liberal.
Yes.
Who was an Obama delegate.
Mm-hmm.
Who is for full-term abortion.
Yes.
Who is for more gun restrictions.
Yes.
Who is for transgender bathrooms.
Yes.
Who is for transgender in the military.
Yes.
Is against everything we in Alabama believe and stand for.
Yes. That's right.
Roy Moore's wife there on Monday. Doug Jones, the Democratic candidate, mocked Republican Roy Moore for pulling out a gun himself, Roy Moore did, while on stage during a September rally.
I'm a supporter of the Second Amendment. When you see me with a gun, folks,
I'll be climbing in and out of a deer stand or a turkey blind, not prancing around on a stage in a cowboy suit.
Neck and neck race. The vote is on Tuesday. Lita Gore with Alabama Media Group says polls very, very close, but a little lead for Roy Moore now, still within the margin of error. Let's look at it with a couple of political pollsters, consultants here. Jonathan Gray joins us, Republican consultant, founding partner of Strategy Public Relations, joining us from Mobile, Alabama. Mr. Gray, thank you very much for being with us.
How are you doing today, Sam?
Very well. And Zach McCrary joins us from Montgomery, Alabama, partner pollster strategist at ALG Research, former communications director for the Alabama Democratic Party. Zach McCrary, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
Abortion has come up, Zach McCrary, and you heard Roy Moore's wife, Kayla, there saying that Doug Jones is for full-term abortion. I'm not sure what that means, but it suggests like any time. What's the fact here?
Well, my understanding is that Doug Jones is very content with the status quo when it comes to law. You know, that doesn't want to make it too extreme either way. I do think it's relevant that we see repeatedly, we heard it in that clip, that the Roy Moore campaign is hyper-focused on issues like litigating which members of our military should be kicked out. They repeatedly talk about transgender bathrooms. Doug Jones has laid down a marker of talking about what he calls kitchen table issues. If Doug Jones is talking about better jobs, more affordable health care, better schools, and Roy Moore is talking about who can and can't go into Alabama bathrooms, I think that is actually a debate that Doug Jones is winning and will win on Tuesday.
Jonathan Gray, how do you see the race at this point? After all the stuff that came out of the Washington Post and more, the nine women coming forward, yet Alabama's ruby red historically and right up to this moment. How's it look to you, Jonathan?
Well, I mean, prior to the November allegations, this was Roy Moore's race to win, and the allegations have certainly made it a tighter race, but the last week has been all momentum for Moore. The polls have certainly trended that way. I guess the weekend we'll see what happens if there's another shoe to drop, but at this point we're inside 96 hours and everybody's in a turnout game. Messaging really isn't material at this point.
So how are people looking at it? Does the stuff do all the women not count to Republican voters, or what do they do with that, Jonathan?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of women Republicans. I think women count to Republican and Democrat voters. I think the issue here is credibility. Any time you have allegations come out within a matter of weeks of a political election, there's going to be questions of credibility. That's the first thing I'd say. When people come out about Matt Lauer or Weinstein or Bill Cosby, there's no time issue. There's no pressing issue ahead of you that makes you question credibility, because the allegations could have come out 3 weeks ago or 3 years from now. But whenever something comes out in front of something that becomes important, we question it. But in Alabama, you have to remember that Moore's been around a long time. Just in September and August, Luther Strange and his allies spent about $30 million attacking Roy Moore. And there's a lot of people who scratch their heads saying, wait a minute, they just spent $30 million digging up dirt on Roy Moore, and this never came out. So you have to respect the fact that CBS, YouGov, and a number of other very independent polls, including the Washington Post, show an overwhelming majority of Alabamians don't believe the allegations, and that includes Democrats and Republicans. You've also got the Republican side, which, is nearly 70% don't believe the allegations. So there's some partisanship in there, but it's also across the board.
Can I say who does believe these allegations?
Yes, please, Zach.
Jeff Sessions says, I have no reason to doubt these young women. The Republican governor of the state has said she believes these women. It was mentioned earlier, Alabama's senior Republican U.S. Senator Richard Shelby has not only said he is not planning to vote for Roy Moore. Richard Shelby, the Republican senator, has already voted absentee, says he did not vote for Roy Moore, says, I just cannot support Judge Moore. So there are plenty of Republicans who do indeed believe these charges. And I think we will see that this race transcends basic D versus R partisanship, and we'll see a very unusual, not even bipartisan, almost nonpartisan coalition come together on Tuesday, because I think there are a lot of Republicans, in addition to independents and Democrats in Alabama, ready to relegate Roy Moore to the dustbin of the state's political history.
What do they have to prioritize to do that, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, certainly a strong African-American turnout is imperative, and I think that's in the works. There's the energy and activity and infrastructure being placed on that is really historic levels that we have not seen in a generation. But I do think there's the other piece of that, the other part of the coalition, is bringing soft Republicans, conservative-minded independents, into the Jones coalition. And Doug Jones has made a point of talking about working together with Republicans. The line Doug Jones uses, which I think is a stone cold fact, is that he in Washington, Doug Jones will work better with Richard Shelby and Republicans than Roy Moore will work with anyone. Fundamentally, I think we see that there are Republicans who have endorsed Doug Jones. There are Republicans who have said they're going to write in someone as opposed to supporting Roy Moore. And I think we see that bipartisan coalition coming together and really growing by the day.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about Alabama and the home stretch of the U.S. Senate race there between Democrat Doug Jones and Republican Roy Moore. President Trump endorsing in a tweet this week, and then the next day said this.
We want to have the things that we represent, and we certainly don't want to have a liberal Democrat that's controlled by Nancy Pelosi and controlled by Chuck Schumer. We don't want to have that for Alabama.
Steve Bannon all in for Roy Moore against the Democrat Doug Jones, who is running very close to Roy Moore in what is traditionally a ruby red state. Here was Bannon Tuesday night in Fairhope, Alabama.
I can't believe this brother is running in the state of Alabama with this record. It's amazing. What planet are you on? Man, guns, abortion, immigration, trade. He's a Clinton globalist.
Doug Jones saying we can do better than Roy Moore. Roy Moore saying I'm your Alabama values, man, and I will take them to Washington. Lita Gore is with us, reporter at the Alabama Media Group. Zach McGrary, Democratic consultant with us from Montgomery today. Jonathan Gray, Republican consultant out of Mobile, Alabama. And we are looking at this race. What do you see? What is at stake here for Alabama? What is at stake for the country? Jonathan Gray, Doug Jones says, if we elect Roy Moore, you're going to see Toyota, Mazda, and a whole lot more just not come to this state. They're just going to turn their back on Alabama. What do you think?
Yawn.
Yawn.
I mean, we're done with the hyperbole. I mean, look, the election's on Tuesday.
Well, North Carolina paid a price after the whole transgender bathroom thing. It's not as if it never does happen.
You asked me my opinion. I've given it to you.
Yes, sir.
The bottom line is, on Tuesday, we're going to vote, and we're going to see what the voters have to say, and I think Alabama will live with what they have. You know, look, people in Alabama are proud people. You can call us hard-headed, but at the end of the day, they're going to vote for what they want, and frankly, they really don't care what the repercussions will be.
Lita Gore, does it look just it's all about we'll do it our way and let the chips fall where they may?
I don't think it's quite that clear cut. I think you have a lot of people who think they don't have a choice in this race. They have traditionally voted Republican. They want to vote Republican. They don't love Roy Moore. Allegations aside, they don't like Roy Moore. Let us not forget he was twice defeated as governor of the state. Wasn't even in the race, really.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they have a love affair with Roy Moore. I think they don't want to. Alabama voters do not want to send a Democrat to the Senate and be the tipping point for the Supreme Court, for any other future big votes. They don't want to do that. Now, the thing about not having ramifications, well, we've already seen ramifications, because not from Roy Moore, but you know, California has a travel ban against Alabama right now because of some immigration policies. Now, that's sort of a, you know...
For who? You mean for state government officials or something?
Right, yeah. No state-funded travel to Alabama and some other states, just based on some other, you know, some other laws. So there is a knee-jerk reaction to a lot of these things. Now, if I'm a industrial recruiter for North Carolina, the first thing I walk in and tell Toyota is, if you go to Alabama, you're supporting Roy Moore. Is that correct? Maybe not, but that's the first thing I would say.
Anita in Chesapeake, Virginia. Anita, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question that I wish somebody would answer to me. I keep hearing the Christians supporting, the Christians are Republicans, the Christians have all these morals and principles. What are you Christians telling your children when they ask you the questions? Is it okay for a man to grab a woman in her private parts? Is it okay for men to disrespect women? I have an 8-year-old in my life, and she asks certain questions when she hears the news broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell her that there is enough good people out there that's going to make this right. and then I say a prayer. What are you telling your children, America? What?
Jonathan Graham, I'm afraid that one falls to you. What do you say?
Now, you know, I don't know what you tell your children when they come home from war and they have to explain to you about the people they murdered in cold blood. You know, a lot of people see this as a war on policy in America, and people are entitled to their different opinions and to disagree. But I think the others that are on the phone with me will tell you that on both sides of the fence, Democrat and Republicans, there are people who are beyond angry. They're beyond themselves. There's people who are appalled.
About what? About Roy Moore's behavior or about something else?
On both sides. Oh, Donald Trump, the transgendered military, Obamacare, taxes. I mean, you just take it across the board. And so at the end of the day, I think she brings up a good point. It's a point I've talked about a lot. You know, Republicans in 2016 held their nose and voted for Donald Trump because sometimes you need a guy who can get the job done. You may not even like the guy, but he can get the job done. And your previous caller from Opelika, who's a great editor, pointed out the fact that a lot of people who are voting for Moore simply believe that he stands on his principle. You may not like his principle. You may not like what he stands for. But for those who do believe those things, he's not going to waver, and he's not going to be a liberal. He's not even going to be a moderate. He is going to be as far to the right as somebody can possibly get. Don't get me wrong. He's not everybody's cup of tea. And I'm sure Zach and Lita have opinions that will tell you that they will be different. But I'm telling you, the voters I deal with that are Republicans, that's what the majority of them are looking at.
Zach, the state went for Donald Trump by a very large margin. Jonathan said many held their nose and voted for Donald Trump. Will they do that again? How do you talk them out of that with Roy Moore, if that's your goal?
No, the Donald Trump angle is very interesting. Donald Trump came in and campaigned for Roy Moore's opponent in the primary, and that opponent lost by 10 points. Donald Trump, tweets some support of Roy Moore, but apparently is so embarrassed about supporting Roy Moore, he not only won't let Roy Moore come on stage with him at events, but he won't come to the same state.
But he's just next door now, and he's clearly thrown his weight in that direction. We heard the tape from him. He's in Pensacola today, and you've got Steve Bannon and Trump now.
No, yeah, I mean, that had no impact in the previous race. You know, Alabama's don't need sort of outsiders, you know, Democratic outsiders, you know, have not injected themselves in this race. You know, I don't think Alabamians are all that curious what Steve Bannon, and again, they've already ignored what Donald Trump has to say. I mean, we've seen repeatedly in Roy Moore's career that he is a weak candidate. Even before these disclosures, Roy Moore struggled. The last time he ran against a Democrat, he barely limped across the finish line. Since then, he's been removed from office a second time. Since then, of course, we have these pattern of sexual predatory behavior come to him. It was mentioned the previous time that he tried to ascend from the state court to a higher office. Twice he ran for governor, and Roy Moore embarrassed himself in those elections. You know, distant in the past. And again, I do think that Alabamians are tired of being embarrassed by Roy Moore. We just went through a sex scandal with a governor who denied the allegations for months and months until being driven from office in disgrace. Alabamians are not dupes. They're not fools, and I think they're ready to turn the page on Roy Moore.
Let's get another Alabama caller here, Mobile Brennan. Brennan, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Yeah, I just wanted to follow up, I guess, what the last speaker said. You know, allegations aside, and as bad as the allegations are, I mean, there's been a time where this man has, you know, said that, you know, Muslims shouldn't serve in the United States Congress. You know, I was watching a C-SPAN video this morning where he was comparing, you know, teaching evolution to drive-by shooting, just, you know, really insane things that all of us Southerners, we all have grandfathers, you know, who say stuff like this. But I just wanted to say, you know, at what point are you disqualified? You know, allegations aside, I just don't understand in 2017 how this candidate has ascended this far. You know, as a 26-year-old living in Mobile, which is a city I love, you know, it's kind of breaking my heart.
But they're neck and neck, and Moore may be a little bit ahead. How do you explain that, Brennan?
I really can't. It breaks my heart. I can talk to my mother about this or my cousins or whatever, and I can't explain the logic anymore. You know, I used to be able to rationalize what Southerners, you know, I'm from Mississippi originally, but I live in Alabama now, and they make these terrible decisions, and it's getting to a point where I've spoken with other people my age, and we're actively pursuing, you know, as much as it breaks our heart, we love this beautiful place, you know, leaving. So I don't know.
Talking about leaving Alabama, Brennan, I appreciate your call. Jonathan Gray is tickled pink. Mike in Bessemer City, North Carolina. Mike, you're on the air.
Yes, I'll just come, you know, I hear, been hearing, you know, everybody putting down Roy Moore, basically Alabama, Alabamians themselves. I mean, you know,
no, sir, no, sir. We're listening.
Huh?
Yes, please.
Yes, nobody, no, not everybody is a Californian or New Yorker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not everybody's liberal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Southern is, well, you know, it's called the Bible Belt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have our beliefs, and the people in California and the people in New York and, you know, the liberal, the blue state, they have their beliefs. But we shouldn't be, you know, they shouldn't be trying to make their beliefs on Alabamians in anywhere state in the South or anywhere state in the country. You know, I mean, Roy Moore has denied accusations. There's no proof. Actually, you can get a lot of women that have a vendetta against a man in a high place and can say, you know, he sexual harassed me. All right. You know, you got to have proof. But Al Franken was caught right there on with a video or with a picture. I mean, that's proof. I mean, you know, the accusation, you know, and
it's hard to have proof with a 14-year-old girl who you took to your own home and got undressed. She says how many decades ago, Mike?
Well, that's what she says. I mean, people says they see flying saucers and people say they see Bigfoot. I want to see the proof. You got to have proof. I mean, you know, he's been, Roy Moore has been in Alabama politics for what, 30-some years?
Yep.
I mean, they could come out then. Why do it now?
Mike, we've got it. I appreciate your call, Mike. Lita Gore, what about the way Alabamians look at these nine women? Are there a majority of people who are really willing to say all nine would be somehow, you know, making this up? Or that's really not the point, that they'll just put that to the side because, as Mike says, they've got their view of the world and they want to assert it at the polling place?
Well, there are people who dismiss every allegation, and then there are people who say this one has a stronger case than this one. You know, they're, like I said, they're not all the same. But let me address that most recent caller first of all, because I am born and raised in Alabama. It's the only place I've ever lived full time, and so I qualify as one of those Alabamians. And let me just say this: I think what I point people to is go back to what Roy Moore himself said. Not what one of his spokespeople said, but what Roy Moore said. Read his book, see what he said. Read, you know, listen to his comments. And his first comment was on some of the allegations that he dated women as teenagers. He said, yes, I asked their mother for permission, and I did, you know, go out with some girls, and I wasn't sure of their age. He disputed, you know, did I buy him a drink? Did I not buy him a drink?
Mm.
He since came back and said, I know none of these women. And to me, that was sort of a pivotal moment in all this because he went from, yes, I knew this girl, she was 18, she was 17, you know, that, not addressing the Lee Korfman 14-year-old allegations, those type of things, but he did admit knowing some of these women, to pivoting to, I know none of them. And so when we say, you know, there is no proof, well, listen to Roy Moore's own words, and I'm not arguing his case for or against him. I'm just saying go back to what we know the man has said, not interpreted through another media organization. That's his own work.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan Gray there in Mobile. What about our caller from Mobile, 26 years old, and thinks maybe he's leaving Alabama. It's just not his cup of tea if it goes the Roy Moore road. Does that give you pause, millennials thinking that way?
You know, after Donald Trump was elected, there was a lot of talk about California, you know, leaving the United States, and there were a lot of folks here in Alabama that raised money. We had a mayor in Orange Beach who put together
a send-off
account to help them. Absolutely help them. We had people here raising GoFundMe accounts to get people bus tickets to Canada. Look, I'm trying to be funny about it, but the fact of the matter is he also made the comment, how can somebody like this be qualified? And, you know, Zach represents Democrats. You know, I represent Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the race is over. I mean, I'm not here campaigning. You haven't heard me speak, you know, proactively mm-hmm. about anybody doing anything. I'm mm-hmm. just telling you what's on the ground. But I'll tell you this. We're all entitled to serve. This country and its leadership is made up of all of us. The most extreme points of views, the ridiculous points of views. And all of us need to get a little more accustomed to listening to something we disagree with, because our world today is so polarized. And you're talking about a guy, I'm not a pollster. I mean, I actually run the races. I pick the mediums. I choose that media placement. And I can only tell you, we don't have Walter Cronkite anymore. We come home and we decide, are we going to watch Fox News or CNN? And we isolate and surround ourselves with voices that sound like us, hear what we say ourselves, what we're comfortable hearing. Mm-hmm. And that partisan divide, folks, is becoming as tall as the World Trade Centers. And at some point, it's going to come down like that, too. And I think that is probably more important of what's going on both with Trump and Moore right now than anything else, is that the divide about where we have segregated ourselves into the, they think like me, they talk like me, they sound like me. I am not open to another point of view. And that is on both sides.
And I think that makes it even more striking that the senior Republican senator in the state is saying he's not going to vote for the Republican nominee, not going to vote for
him. He's a converted Democrat. He's a moderate by anybody's definitions. And I don't think the base cares personally. But you know what, Zach? Let's come back on the 13th. And let's talk about what happened, because me and you sitting here picking on it, hell, we might as well be picking NFL games for the weekend.
Zach, how does Doug Jones bridge that divide that Jonathan's talking about? What's key to that? If he's got to do some of it if he's going to win.
Sir, absolutely. And I do think, you know, there are a lot of Republicans who have real qualms about Roy Moore. Certainly, psychologically, it's difficult to vote for a Democrat. I get that. But they, you know, some of them will stay home. Some of them, like Richard Shelby, will write in other candidates. So I do think we see this coalition forming. I mean, listen, Roy Moore was removed from the state Supreme Court twice. He was kicked out of the Gadsden Mall food court. I don't think somebody wants somebody with that background serving in the U.S. Senate. I really do feel like Alabama is ready to be done with Roy Moore. Democrats, independents, and even a lot of Republicans.
Well, it's a rumble to the end here, and the outcome will be clear soon enough, but very interesting to hear as Alabamians get very close to the vote. Republican Roy Moore or Democrat Doug Jones, and it will all be decided on Tuesday. I want to thank all three of you for helping us look in here today. Zach McCrary at ALG Research in Montgomery, thank you very much for being with us, Zach.
Thank you, Tom.
Jonathan Gray at Strategy Public Relations, a consultant out of Mobile. Thank you, Jonathan.
Have a beautiful day.
You too. And Lita Gore, reporter at Alabama Media Group in Huntsville, Alabama. Thanks so much for being with us. Lita, we'll talk to you after the voting day.
Looking forward to it.
Listeners, thanks for being with us this hour. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.